Hello, 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 hello. Claire Akers here, coming to you live from Sunnybank Mills in Farsley. How are you today? I hope you're well. So please do say hello if you are watching me live, if you are tuning in live, and if you are catching up a little bit later, please say hello with hashtag replay. This conversation is called Overwhelmed and Struggling. This is for you, if this is you. Also known as my Tuscan existential crisis. And have I got a tale for you today? So this one is for you if you are feeling a little bit overwhelmed by life and by your business. If you are struggling to get the motivation to just get going on projects, no matter how much you want to, no matter how exciting they are or how much you said you wanted to do the things. This is for you if you've been a little bit triggered by seemingly everybody doing it so much better and easier than you on LinkedIn or Insta or whatever it is. If imposter syndrome is running the show for you at the moment and you're feeling a little bit like you don't belong. And if you are even having a bit of a question of your purpose, your mission, what you are even doing in business, and you are having your own version of an existential crisis, today's conversation is for you. Yes, we are going there with the big questions. We are absolutely going there with the big questions. My name is Claire Akers. I help female founders, female entrepreneurs, female leaders get over their imposter syndrome so they can grow aligned and authentic businesses. So, what has inspired today's conversation? Well, I have just returned from a retreat in Tuscany. If you haven't seen the photos, go check them out. It was absolutely wonderful. But on this retreat in Tuscany, I had my own existential crisis. And I do not use that term lightly, but that is absolutely what it felt like for me. So this came about because somebody I used to work with 15 years ago moved over there and has spent the last 7 years lovingly restoring this beautiful, beautiful old Tuscan farmhouse nestled in the middle of the hills. It is the most glorious, glorious place. So it's a huge farmhouse. It's just sort of picture stone walls, wide open, expansive living spaces that all flowed into each other beautifully. Gorgeous decoration, fireplaces, beautifully furnished. I had the most gorgeous bedroom. Huge, huge, huge comfy bed where I could fall asleep under the stars because, of course, there's no light pollution, listening to the frogs in the pond and the crickets chirping away, you know, really, really feeling comfy and safe and relaxed, with a rainforest shower in the bedroom as well, which I absolutely loved. As a side note, they let it out as an Airbnb. If you don't fancy a retreat, please do check it out. It is awesome. There was also a swimming pool there as well, where I used to go for a dawn dip, and a yoga studio as well, overlooking the hills. The most gorgeous, gorgeous space to do yoga. And it came about, this lady I used to work with 15 years ago, and I'd been watching her. I'd been watching her restoring this place, and I can't believe how lucky I was that I got to go over there and experience it for myself. And it turns out, who knew, that doing yoga twice a day, it really, really suits me. So in the mornings, picture this, we did this quite fiery flow session to get warmed up and kind of center ourselves and find our power, to feel strong, connected, able to rise up as women, and then doing some yin yoga or yoga nidra to chill out, relax, be calm, and sleep well in the evenings. And I really, really connected with Callie's style. It was all beautiful, and just felt really, really strong and connected and grounded, all the stuff. And at the retreat as well, the other part of it was a collaboration with a perimenopausal and menopausal nutrition expert, a lady called Emma, who gave us cooking lessons and nutrition lessons about what we should be eating in perimenopause and menopause. And she was also our private chef. So she provided vegetarian, clean eating throughout our time there. Absolutely gorgeous. I loved being looked after like that. But it made me realize that I thought I was doing okay on the nutrition front, you know, having my overnight oats in the mornings. But I realized that I could be doing so, so much more to fuel myself properly. But the way that she did it was in a really empowering, not preachy way. And I was super, super lucky with the group that we had too. I don't know if anybody who was on the retreat will be watching this, but it was an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous group of women. You know, the kind of type that you instantly feel safe with. And we shared all our stories and were really vulnerable, but also laughed our backsides off as well. And we had a trip into Siena. I don't know if you've been to Siena, but oh my gosh, it's absolutely beautiful. There's amazing stories there about the horse race that they have there and the different districts. And we also went to some nearby volcanic hot springs. Now, if you don't look at any of the photos, I'd recommend you go and have a look at those. Oh my gosh. Excuse my Italian accent, but it was the Fosso Bianco or Bianco Fosso. I can't remember, but the White Falls, basically. Oh my gosh. Totally free, just there in the middle of the forest, volcanic hot springs, a range of different dipping pools. You know, I love a dipping pool. And these pools were ranging from hotter than a hot bath at the top down to Yorkshire Reservoir freezing at the bottom. Little waterfalls everywhere. And that mineral rich clay, you know, like the ones you get at the Blue Lagoon in Reykjavik that you can put all over your skin and it makes it feel really, really gorgeous. So let's just say that Yorkshire waterfalls are not quite the same. They are not quite doing it for me at the moment. Anyway, I'm not sharing this stuff, despite appearances, to make you feel jealous or in some sort of promotion way. I am not affiliated in any way, although I would love to share Callie and Emma's details with you if that sounds like your vibe. But the point I want to make is this. Despite all this gorgeous setup, whilst I was there, I had a teeny tiny, but fairly fundamental existential crisis. And if you had asked me even a week ago what my purpose was, what my mission in business was, I could have told you in a really slick, certain, practiced elevator pitch exactly who I help, how I do it, and what my legacy in life is. But as I was doing some slow meditative laps of the pool early one morning, solo, on my own, before anybody else got up, it hit me like an absolute ton of bricks. What the fuck am I doing? I don't know what I'm aiming for anymore. What I thought I was doing, what I thought I was certain of, doesn't feel right anymore. It doesn't feel like me anymore. It's not feeling me excited anymore. I don't know if this plan is going to make me happy. Now, if I were at home, I'd probably been able to brush that off or talk myself out of it or squish it down until I was feeling capable of dealing with it or until it went away. But because I was on retreat, I was able to really sit with this question and let it percolate, you know, really ruminate on this question and give it space and time to breathe and formulate itself into the fullest. This is one of the things I love about retreat, whether I am running them or whether I am on them, you're never quite sure what you're going to get. You know, you can put the landmark pieces in place, but you're never quite sure how it's going to happen. But there is time and there is space to let whatever needs to happen, happen. And then as soon as I had this question pop up, I got ill. It was so weird. It's like, it was like my body just released what it needed to release. And it was like I was on mushrooms. Not that I've ever done mushrooms. It was what I suspect being on mushrooms would be like. My head got really fuzzy. I felt really discombobulated. It was like I was looking at life through the wrong end of a telescope. It was so weird. But because of the work that I do, I knew that the most important thing that I could do was sit with the discomfort. Not try and run away with it or numb and distract myself, but to sit with that discomfort and to self-resource, you know, to do all the things, but also let myself be supported by Callie, by Emma, and all the other gorgeous women in the group. And this is what I've learned. This is what the takeaway is for. And if you're feeling overwhelmed and struggling and disconnected and all the things I mentioned at the top of this conversation, I want to share these with these two. And I would love to know what resonates with you. So number one, the first thing I've learned, I am playing too small. I'm playing too small. What Callie has achieved by restoring Macchione is nothing short of incredible and amazing and thoroughly, thoroughly inspiring. Just being under the expansiveness of the sky, the scope of the project, the sheer undertaking they took on with two kids, plus also the open-mindedness that travel brings just in itself. Now, I have not been on a plane since COVID, and I don't mind telling you that I was pretty anxious about the whole travel thing, you know, the whole airport, plastic bag, logistics of travel thing. But as soon as I stepped into that airport, it came back and I remembered who I was and I remembered the big dreams I used to have. And that was exactly it. I'm playing too small, but I had the time and space to dream big again. The second thing that I took away is that I've been making excuses. Now, this is a really interesting one. So I've shared previously that my big dream has always been to run retreats in the Lake District, to get a place, to move the family over there, and to be able to host retreats in the Lake District, doing all the things I love to do, hiking, wild swimming, doing all the fell running. Just, it's a lifestyle that I love. Anybody who knows me knows I love all that stuff. And yet it hasn't happened. And I've done it in some parts by hiring venues, and that's worked super, super well. But I've had every excuse under the sun, namely, it's not a good time for the kids. The kids are really involved in all their clubs and all their friends and all that stuff. It's not the right time. And those questions may be valid or they may not be valid anymore. But Callie's done it. Callie's got kids the same age as mine and they've relocated to Italy. And it's just that inspiration of, are these valid questions or is it time to re-examine those questions and maybe call myself out on where they are just excuses because of the fear of stepping into the unknown? Takeaway number three is that my life is geared for efficiency, not quality. Now, this is a really, really big one. And this kind of stopped me in my tracks when I realized this. Everything in my life, from how I get dressed in the morning to what I eat to how I travel, is geared up to allow me to spend more time at work, to spend more time working, to be as efficient as possible, or for spending time with the kids, but none of that friction in between doing those two activities pretty much. I seem to have eliminated any time to linger, to savor, to enjoy that dead time. And I think that is a real shame because it's losing that dreaming time, that time to meander and percolate and just be bored and see what comes out of that. And then leading on for this, number four, is the micro decisions matter. Now, this is a reminder for me because I know this one, I really, really know this one, but it is a really, really timely reminder that the micro decisions really matter. And this is showing up for me in so many ways. For example, if I'm cooking and the recipe calls for herbs, even if those herbs are growing in the front garden, we've got a herb garden in the front garden, I won't bother putting them in. It's like, meh, handful of those can't really matter. But actually what this retreat showed me is that it does. Because how you do one thing is how you do everything. It does matter. And it's this idea, I think it's from Atomic Habits by James Clear, that everything you do is a vote for the kind of person you want to be. So if you're cutting corners, thinking that the micro decisions don't matter, they do, because those things add up over time into your identity. And then number five is the importance of a rich inner life. Now, this is everything. This is absolutely everything. And inside Audacity, my membership, my tribe, we call this DES, your daily essential standards. Here's the difference. Here's the difference that I realized. I am guilty of doing my daily essential standards, my golden daily habits, the activities and rituals that allow me to show up as my best and brightest self. Now, I do these things, and I've got a pretty rock solid practice. I do these things as a quid pro quo. For example, if I spend 20 minutes doing yoga, then I'm going to nail the pitch. Or if I meditate, I'm not going to panic about the bills coming in. Does that make sense, the whole quid pro quo idea? The difference and where I am striving to get to is about being so in tune with, so in love with myself, so aligned with myself, with who I am at my core, that life is just bliss, that having that rich inner life is the goal. It's the stuff that money can't buy. And then finally, number six is, it is time to make some changes. I have made some big decisions over the past week or so. I have released some things that aren't working for me anymore, and I have made some decisions to welcome some new stuff in. And it's a little bit cryptic, so apologies for that. And I can't say too much about that just now, but I will keep you posted on that. But this is my message to you, if today's conversation has resonated. If you're feeling overwhelmed, if you are struggling to get going, to get enthusiasm for projects that you have said that you want, if you're being triggered left, right, and center by what everybody else is doing and saying, if you're questioning your purpose and what you're doing, if you've lost your mojo, if you're lacking clarity, if you are feeling disconnected, and if you're having your own existential crisis, this is what I want you to hear, is that it is absolutely okay. It is absolutely okay to feel like this. And there is nothing wrong with you. It doesn't mean that you're failing. These questions and feelings, they can be really inconvenient, right? They can be confusing, and they can happen at the worst times. And it can be really uncomfortable to have this little voice that's popping up going, this isn't right. Something's wrong here. However, they are clues. That little voice, those feelings, they are absolutely clues that you are ready for an up-leveling, that there is a shift coming for you, that it is time to let some things go in order to make space for what is next for you. It's the idea, isn't it, that nature abhors a vacuum, that if you release what is no longer working for you, it is an opportunity to make space for what comes next. So I've come back into work this week. I have made some and executed some really big decisions. I can't share what they are yet, but it feels so damn right. And that is my clue that I'm on the right path. And so the next step is all about leaning into that trust, to trusting my feelings that I am on the right path. And that for me is the whole point, is the whole essence of being a female entrepreneur. It's that freedom to pursue and to explore that curiosity. I hope you have enjoyed today's conversation. Let me know what has resonated. Thank you so much for being here, and I will see you very soon.